Hello and welcome to WP Cafe episode number 31 with me, Keith Devon, and
with me, Mark Wilkinson. 31, wow, we got to number 31. That seems a long way from when we started.
It's an important milestone, anyway. 31. Yeah, it's one of the big numbers.
How's your week been, Keith? What have you been up to?
It's all right. Big news is I'm in a new office. Yeah.
Yes.
Possibly slightly echoey. I need to get some damping materials in here, like a rug and potentially curtains and things.
Sounds okay.
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah. But yeah, it's nice. So I'm at the bottom of my garden. My own little space for like the first time since I started working for myself. I've got a dedicated, like proper office that isn't like a spare room. Excellent. Or it's good.
Very good.
Yeah,
very good.
How are you? What have you been up to?
Good. Yeah, nothing exciting particularly happening. Apart from the weather has taken a bit of a turn for the worse up here in the north. It's kind of a bit autumnal and wintry at the moment. So the temperature's not so bad. It's a bit windy and wet, and it's just like you can feel the nights drawing in.
Yeah.
Summer's gone, enough. You know. Anyway. So what we're chatting about today? We have some things to discuss, I believe.
Well, we've got a few things. One is that we launched our new product. So maybe we could talk a little bit about what that's been like and what we've had to do and what we're thinking of doing next and what the reception's been like and all that kind of stuff. So there's lots of kind of hopefully interesting things to talk about around that. I put like maintenance contracts in the topic list just because we've had to figure some things out recently, so we can chat about that. ACF version 6 has been released.
Yep.
I know you've had a very quick look, so it wouldn't be like an in-depth look at it, but we could quickly talk about your first impressions of that. And then any questions from people watching and things like that would be cool.
Cool. If you are watching and you have a question, then let us know in the comments. And let us know you're watching. Be nice to know you're there.
Give us a little wave. Say hello.
Yeah, let's crack on then. So our launch, which happened was the early first thing this week, wasn't it? So it would have been Tuesday because we were off Monday, weren't we?
Yep, 2 days ago.
We launched. What did the launch entail?
Well,
what actually happened?
I think you tweeted it, basically. I think we kind of decided that we'd landed on something that was releasable.
Yes, definitely.
And then you tweeted it out. Did you tweet that out before we got it in the plugin repository?
Yes. Yeah. So essentially I did so all the other releases of the plugin in terms of like for people to test, because we had some beta testers, and thanks so much to those people that did do that testing and give us some feedback. That was really, really, really helpful. They all got a release that was done in like GitHub that was like marked as pre-release. So it like, wasn't a proper release of the plugin. So what I did is I launched like version. There was some things that we tidied up, obviously, as part of this. It wasn't just, you know, changing the version number, but it wasn't a lot. It was just briefly. Released that as a version 1, made it a proper release on GitHub. So it comes out as version 1 and it's like a proper product, if that makes sense. And then I added that to our store with our licensing software so that we could create licenses for it and so on. So that was the release process. And then like I said, on Twitter, just put out some tweets, did some LinkedIn posts as well. Which got some good feedback, lots of retweets, which is nice. Which is always nice to get, to try and spread the word. And we had 2 sales. We woke up in the morning after to 2 sales, which is like woohoo.
that was highly unexpected, I have to say.
Definitely.
I wasn't expecting a single sale. 2 sales overnight was amazing. So kind of proves that we might have something that at least some people might want to buy. Well, it does prove it, because 2 people have bought it.
They bought it, yeah, definitely.
Hopefully we haven't exhausted our market for the product.
That's it, 100% of the market. Yeah,
we might have exhausted our marketing ability. That is my actual worry. So
yeah, absolutely. Kinda... We'll see, but I don't know. We haven't had a sale since, so that was like another night or two nights or days.
But,
not sure, but...
no one's gonna be stumbling across it. Yeah, like it doesn't rank anywhere. There's nobody linking to it. We don't have any. There's zero marketing. If we're not talking about it directly, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. And if you didn't know, we've talked about this for about 4 minutes now, and people don't actually know what this thing is if they've listened to this for the first time. This is a plugin called Simple Social Images, which allows you to create social sharing images for your WordPress posts, pages, custom post types. So when you share a post on social media, you get a nice image, including the post or page title included, a logo, a background image, just getting it a bit more branded. And it's, if you want to find out more, it's simplesocialimages.com, and you can have a look at it on there.
It's funny, we had a comment once on our YouTube comments that we didn't put the link in the comments or somewhere in the show notes, and I was like, we're not actually using this show as a promotional tool. So I don't really feel like, I know we talk about it a lot, but it's just because it's what's going on in our business right now. Yeah,
just stuff we do, really, isn't it? But yeah, so.
Yeah, but if you do want to check it out, that was the address. So that was exciting. It's one of those things. It's like, okay, it's launched. We've got 2 sales. Now what?
I think for me, there's two things that have to happen immediately. The first is then we need to get the documentation up and running and ready and up to date.
Yeah.
Got the words out then. Because there were some changes that we did, obviously, based on the feedback, and I'm not sure we've entirely got around to changing the documentation.
Yeah.
What the new version, the feedback we got made us do was actually make the onboarding process much better. So in theory, the documentation is less needed. So we need to go and sort that out. We've got some work to do on actually writing the pages that allow you to customize the template that you're using completely. So you can add other things to it rather than just the post title. You might want to add the author to it and so forth. We've got work to do on that, which is going to be good, I think. I think people will enjoy using that. And then I think we need to learn. I think we know people want this just from research before we started doing the plugin. And we now have some sales, so we know people think it's useful. But I do think we need some research into what are people searching for to find this stuff on the web, you know. Social sharing images, is that the term that is what people are looking for? We need to understand about that. And then we've got some ideas on some content marketing we can do just around the product as well, haven't we? So that's the sort of immediate plan. But I'm sure there'll be more ideas come along in the future. I know you've got some ideas on like affiliate marketing stuff.
Yeah, I thought that affiliates could work. So there's different ways that we could use affiliate marketing. It feels like a bit of a dirty word, affiliate marketing, but I don't think it needs to be. There's two ways I can see that working. One is that it's like a referrals. So current customers get a referral code and they can get some money off or some like cash back or whatever for referring people. So that's one way. And I like that because it's it builds in that sense of kind of virality, if that's a word. So, you know, there could be this kind of like exponential growth if that was something that kind of took off. The other side of affiliate marketing is that I know of is like on like guest blog posts and things like that, you know, someone who owns like a WordPress blog or a social marketing blog or something like that. And we have a little post about our product, or it's included in a list of tools, and they put a link to the product and it's an affiliate link and they get some money for every sale. So those are two ways that I think, you know, could work. I don't love that second way. I like the first way a lot better because it's people, I think, that have used it that are actually recommending it. And that feels a bit better than someone recommending it just because they're getting a bit of a kickback. The thing is with this, though, it's going to be small. They're going to be small referral fees. Because it's not an expensive product. So,
but I think the first way, you wouldn't get an affiliate code or link or whatever unless you've purchased it. So in a sense,
yeah.
If you've used it and enjoy it and you were going to tweet about it anyway or whatever, why not give them some incentive to do that and say,
exactly,
you were going to tell everyone you liked it. Well, why not tell everyone you liked it and get some money for it?
Yeah, and the example that I kind of referred to whenever I spoke to you about this idea was Free Agent. So the accounting software that we use, and I've used for a long time, and they have a referral code. And, you know, if you get like a certain amount of money off every time someone signs up based on your code until the service is free, the product is free. And I love that. Like, it's really, and I've seen more people share Free Agent codes than I've seen anything else. So probably because it's a good product. But also, I just think that's a really nice little incentive to share.
It's something else to manage, isn't it? An affiliate system.
That is true. Yes.
We need to work out whether that's worth it. And it is worth it if it sells a product. But there's just lots to think about. But yeah.
Yeah. And it's not always worth it. Like, for example, you know, if you sell a... If you sold a product for £5, for example, but every time you sold that product, you needed to do half an hour's worth of accounting.
Yeah.
That's not worth it.
Exactly.
So like, if actually these affiliates are only kind of marginally, I don't know, moving the needle for us in terms of profits or revenues, then it might not actually be worth the extra.
And we found that with Job Relay, didn't we? In that.
Yep.
The monthly fee for Job Relay, we ended up increasing because actually it took, you know, 4 or 5 minutes in accounting every month to explain those transactions, monthly transactions. It made sense to increase that fee slightly from what we had it. Interesting to see. We'll have to do some research and just come up with some ideas. I don't really know how they work, so it's a good thing to look into.
The other thing I really want to do on the product is update the UI. So I've been doing a bit of work this morning. Sent a couple of tweets out earlier about some UI change ideas that I have, which I think will really improve it. I hope so anyway. So
They look really good. I thought the second one in particular looked really good. I was like, oh, have you built that already? He's like, no, I've just designed it in like Sketch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I had a look at how tools like Figma and Sketch and Gutenberg do those kinds of UIs, you know, like changing text sizes and colors and alignments and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I tried to pull some inspiration from that. I think it looks good. It's interesting though, because the feedback on Twitter is mixed on it already. Like, some people saying they prefer all the settings to be shown instead of like hidden behind tabs or things, which I find really interesting. It's like, why would you prefer that? That seems a bit strange. Like, it's just a more cluttered interface, and I don't know. Yeah, so it just proves there's not necessarily like a right or wrong answer. People have preferences on these things.
I said to you, like, I didn't think it was too cluttered, but I think once you start adding a few more settings, it becomes cluttered. So I do think it makes sense to have a way of compartmentalizing the different settings. And even if it's just a toggle all button, so if those that want to see them all can literally just press a button and say expand them all, something like that. I'll see.
Yeah, you could potentially do that. Yeah, you could. Yeah, I thought about that earlier. Depends how you build it. There you go. So that's the world of products at the minute. So back to the world of services, maintenance contracts. We've had just an interesting time recently, haven't we? Like, this week, we've launched a site for a big client. We've done like a month's worth of, I don't know, I can't remember what we call it, like hypercare or something, but like, we were there to just like jump on anything that happened straight away, fix any bugs, post-launch bugs. So we've done all that. And then over the last like 2 or 3 weeks, we've been kind of talking about and negotiating a retainer, like stroke maintenance contract. And it's been a little bit frustrating because I think that they are going to need much more from us than they're willing to commit to. And that leaves us in a difficult situation when all these requests are coming in, like, can you help with this? Can you help with this? Can you help with this? It's like, hang on. You've only got 2 hours a month. And any of those requests, probably even scoping them out or thinking about them, are going to take 2 hours of time. So how do we handle it? Like, so yeah. What are your thoughts on all that? Like,
I think, yeah, we've never got this right, have we, really?
No.
It's been really difficult throughout entire time we've had high-rise, but I think what we've come to the conclusion with is that, particularly in terms of like a warranty period, is that we've had various different warranties in our contracts for a while now, but in terms of a warranty period, we've come to the conclusion that whatever that period is, whether it's 5 days, 10 days, 10 weeks, or a year, you have to be in full control of the code base throughout that period. So no one can add anything, no one can change anything, and that's become absolutely clear in this process. But then in terms of maintenance going forward, I agree. I think they need to have some form of time built in that allows you to do the small tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's all about informing the client what sort of tasks are likely to take 15 minutes and what sort of tasks, like you say, need a bit of scope and are just going to eat up that hour or so that they might want. Because if the client says, well, if we say to a client, how long do you want in retainer time as part of this contract? Like, that doesn't really mean anything to them until they know how long things take, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
They could just say, well, an hour will be fine because you'll get, in their head, you'll get all this stuff done in an hour. But in our head, that's going to take 5 hours. So I think you need a period of work or some, and we haven't got this right yet. If anyone's got any ideas on this, let us know. How do you let your client know that, you know, this example thing is going to take 20 minutes, this example thing is going to take an hour and a half? Because until both sides know that, it's impossible to actually put a number of hours that makes sense. Maybe what we should do is to say to the client, we're going to take the first 3 months and we're going to just like almost pay as you go, and then we'll see what the average is at the end of that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way of doing it.
Or just pick a number that seems more sensible at this point and then adjust it, like you say, you know.
Yeah.
If that after 3 months, if that's not working, then yeah. Tricky one. And the whole we've had this whole debate as well about, okay, so something's gone wrong. We don't know what's caused it. Where do we even start? Because there's plugins being added to the site that we didn't add.
Yeah.
So it could be that there's admins on the site doing what admins do, changing settings, whatever. So it could be that. It could be our code.
Yeah.
But we have to do quite a lot of work in certain cases to find out whether, you know, what the cause of the issue was. So if we've done 5 hours of work, so the client thinks this is your problem, it's a bug. You do 5 hours of work and you find out it's their problem. Do they pay for it? I don't know. So it's just, I think we need to draw much cleaner lines on these things. And I really like your idea of a warranty period where they don't touch the code and potentially they're not even administrators.
Potentially. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at the end of that, you can then say, look, this project is delivered. We've had whatever that period of warranty is, 3 months, 2 months, 1 month, two, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. But we can now say the product is stable, it works, we're all happy with it, we've signed it off, and then we can start to add things and change things. But until you can get to that point where you can actually say, everyone can say that everything's like properly working as per specification, that's where the lines get blurred, don't they? Because things have been added and changed, and that just becomes difficult, really. So I think that's something we're going to have to look at moving forward. As with everything in your business, like, these things just evolve, don't they? And they just get better and better at them as you move forward. think about what we were like when we started, and like you're miles better now than when we were there. So you just keep making tweaks and alterations and improve things.
Yeah,
which is good.
That's all you can do. Yeah, I think we'll find a good solution for this. But yeah, these things are always a little bit painful in the moment. We haven't jumped into the comments at all, so a few hellos. Hello, Craig. Hello, Mark. Hello, Dan. Hello, Paul. And Charlie's commented as well. I don't think we've got any questions per se. Mark says we've got the wrong price on our Simple Social Images homepage, but I've just loaded it up and it says 45.
Because I was sneaky and I read that about 2 minutes ago and I just changed it.
Is it not meant to be 49 though? It's 45 on the...
All right.
Come on, Mark. You're too sneaky.
Is it 49?
Well, you tell me.
I don't know. We don't know the price of our own product. It's terrible, isn't it?
It is terrible. And then Mark also says, this is in reference to the UI changes that I was talking about. He says, interesting, as the new ACF is all about grouping settings into tabs to make it easier. Yeah. So, yeah, it's one of those things. I don't know. Yeah. I'm happy to be going in the direction that those guys are going in, to be honest. Dan, what's Dan saying? Dan Addison, he says, agree that pretty much anything the client requests is going to take at least an hour to diagnose / communicate / deploy / test. Completely agree with that. Like, yeah, nearly anything that comes up, no matter how seemingly small, takes that communication, that testing, so absolutely. So 2 hours worth is basically two small issues have come up that we need to fix. Like, this particular project is going to have a lot more than that, I think.
I think there are some things that don't take an hour, but not much.
And Charlie, you know, like, Charlie,
oh, I've just seen this text over here. The design says it's bold and it's not. Fix it.
Yeah.
Done. You know, that, I mean, that's fine, but yeah.
Yeah. And Charlie here is saying it takes at least 1 hour's work most of the time to figure out the truth of what happened to cause the issues. It's something around that. You know, sometimes things are super obvious to us as, you know, WordPress developers. We just like, oh God, yeah, God, I know what caused that. But sometimes, and quite often, it's more. So yeah, very good. So on to ACF, Advanced Custom Fields have released a new version of their plugin, a fairly major update to version 6. You had a little play. What were your thoughts?
It is a very little play, I must admit. So the thing that caught my attention the most was the blocks changes, because we kind of rely on ACF at the moment, in particular for blocks and custom blocks. And I actually, the fresh user interface, we don't actually use, because I register all our fields in PHP, so I don't actually register anything in the admin and jump in and do that. So actually, I did have a look at it, and it just looked really nice. It's nice and refreshed. It's different. Some things I didn't like, just really minor things. So like when you hover over the field names, it puts like you do when you're on the post listing screen, you hover over the title and it gives you the little edit links underneath.
Yeah.
But it sort of like pushes it about like this all the time.
Oh, yeah,
no. Just showing at the bottom. So everything moves a little bit. I just didn't like that a little bit. These are just minor things. And then what was the other one I didn't like? I think it was something to do when you're saving a field group or a field. It's like nothing happens for about a second, and then you want to press the button again, and all of a sudden you get a message at the top that says it's done it. So I don't know if that was just me or whether that was just like, because it doesn't reload the page, I don't think. So it's just minor things. So that was that. And I didn't really do an awful lot in the admin of the UI, because like I said, we don't really use it. Sorry, go on, Keith, you want to say something?
No, I was just going to say, did you try to build a block with it?
Yeah. I did. And so the change in ACF version 6 is that you can, I don't think you have to, but you can now use a more native method of registering a block. So previously, ACF had its own function for registering a block, ACF register block type, I believe it was called. They've now suggested that the best way of doing it is to use the native WordPress PHP function called register block type. And the way that works is essentially you pass it the location of a block JSON file, which does all of the telling of what the block is, its name, its category, its label, its everything, essentially. Mm. So that was how to do that. I couldn't get that to work. I copied a block JSON file and it just wouldn't work. And I wasn't getting any errors, but register block type was just giving me false every time. Like, it's not done it. So when I looked at, took a while to work it out. When I looked, and I must admit, Advanced Custom Field Support helped me out with this with email as well. Looked at the logs and the block JSON was invalid. Now, quite why register block type can't return that error message to you, I don't know, because it would have saved me a lot of time rather than just false. So once I copied one off the ACF site, a much more simple one, and it was fine. I don't know why it was invalid. I don't know what was wrong with it. It doesn't really tell you why it was invalid. It just says it's invalid. So I must have got the JSON wrong. I don't know what happened. So that was a bit frustrating. And then the other thing is that a lot of the... I used to love the ACF blocks page. It's like how to build a block with ACF. It was so... I don't know. It was so like old school WordPress. It was just simple to understand. Here's how you enqueue a style and a JavaScript file with your block. And it was all kind of like what we know and love with WordPress.
Yeah.
Whereas now they've gone more native. They're saying like, and I understand why they're doing it. They don't want to have to do things in two ways. They want to be able to do things the way in which native blocks do them, so that if something gets added, they don't have to change their plugin. They can just kind of roll with what they've already got and it'll work. But very much a lot of the page that talks about the new way of doing it was sort of like, check out the docs on WordPress.org, check out the docs on this on WordPress.org. And my point is that I find them really hard to follow. Like, I can't understand a lot of what they're saying anyway. And it was like, I was kind of back to square one with native blocks in that I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
But this was like an hour's work on it. So I don't want to comment too much on it, but... If you think it's a good thing that they're going more towards native core, then that's good. I think that probably is the right thing to do in the long run. But there is a little bit of a learning curve in terms of registering them and just doing things slightly differently.
Yeah, very good. Well, looking forward to digging into that a little bit more. It's something, a tool that we rely on quite heavily. So feels like a good thing that it's kind of getting a little bit more native, even though that might be a little bit of a tricky transition for us, but that might even help us ease into the world of block development. Who knows?
I don't think so in this instance, because it's only the registering of the block that has changed. Yep. It's not like what you see in... So when you add a block to a page, that's exactly the same as far as I can see. And also how you output the block contents, how you render the block is exactly the same as it was before. And there's a tutorial that shows you how to move from ACF blocks version 1 to blocks version 2. And essentially, once you've registered the block with the new block JSON file, nothing changes. You just do the same thing with the other things. So it doesn't look any different in the editor, which is something I was hoping that they might have improved, because we've always said that it looks a bit unblock-like sometimes when you've got the preview mode and so forth. But that might come. Who knows? Yeah. We'll see.
Very good. I think we should wrap it up there for this week. Thanks for joining us. If you joined us live, you can catch us on YouTube or on your favorite podcast player. The website is wpcafe.show.
Yes.
I think. And you can catch us on Twitter as well at WP Cafe Show, I think.
Yes, I believe so.
I'm sure I need some little banners that I can put up for this stuff, because I always forget. Thanks for joining us, and see you next week.
Bye-bye.